Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, Lord, we just ask for your mercy here this evening, that the Spirit of Jesus Christ would rest upon our brother Sean here as he prays tonight.
Amen.
Father, would you please fill him with your Spirit. Anoint him.
Amen.
Lord, anoint him with the Holy Ghost and grant him unction, Lord, that
Amen.
He may speak the truth in love.
Amen.
He may speak it fully and truly and lovingly. Father, would you please just free him from any fear of man or anything else that may tend to cause us in our frailty to withhold, Lord, what you would have us to hear. Father, just speak to us what the Spirit is saying to the church and to the unbelievers as well, Lord, to the community here. Father, speak to us, we pray, through Brother Sean. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, good evening. Well, I don't know how the delivery will be tonight, but I am confident that I have the message for tonight. I just brag on God and tell him God doesn't always send confirmations their way, or if he does, we don't always recognize them. But had a few about this message. A couple weeks ago, I took an extra day off work. Wanted to spend half the day just reading for my own spiritual life and well-being. And wanted to spend the second half of my extra day off work seeking the Lord if he might provide a message for us. And this was a couple weeks ago. And then one of the confirmations was there. It was the last Sunday in the children's lesson. Brother got up there, a Holland boy there, and he's teaching them on fear of man, bringing a snare, and what a snare was. And the Lord had given me a message about the snares of the devil. And then we get up here tonight, and Brother Phillip's up here. I don't know if you noticed there, probably didn't, but he talks about if you're in the snare of the devil, if you're ensnared, you can be set free. And I nudged my wife's leg with mine there, and she grinned because she knew I'd already told her what the message was. And so just God giving us a little confirmation there. So thank you for coming out, and thank you for praying. Well, I'll start here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy 3, I'll start and read from verse 1 to verse 7. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And verse 7 here. It's the text there. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Those last five, the snare of the devil. The devil is not our friend. The devil is not somebody with red horns and a red pitchfork. The devil is out to set a snare for each one. And these texts here, I know, is in reference to qualifications of a bishop and things. I'm not preaching about qualifications of a bishop. But if God if the devil can snare a bishop, a leader of a church, And that's what this warning is against here. Lest fall into the snare of the devil. If he can snare a bishop, he can snare any of us. And so I want tonight here is to realize the devil is out to snare you and your children, your church, your neighbor, everyone. The devil wants to snare. And what is a snare? We heard a little bit of that there in the children's lesson, done a good job. But a snare's purpose is to catch something by surprise and hold it there until the one who set the snare comes and kills what's in the snare. That's the purpose of a snare. I've not been much of hardly any of a trapper, but I know what a snare is. It's to catch an animal and to hold it there until the one that set the snare comes and kills what's in the snare. And that's what the devil wants to do to each one of us here tonight. He wants to catch us in a snare and hold us there till he comes and destroys us. The purpose of the message here is to expose some of the snares that the devil wants to set so we can avoid them. We can be aware of what they are, where they are, and stay away from them. And if we are happen to be caught in a snare, at the end there I want to present how to get out of the snare. So that's the topic of the message tonight in a nutshell right there. Well, to prove there that the devil's not your friend there, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Devour, to swallow you whole, to rip you to shreds and swallow you whole. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to hold you in those snares. So what is some of those snares? Well, the first one there that I have is the very one that we heard about in the children's lesson Sunday. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, when you think about this word snare, I want you to remember that. Something that's going to hold you till the devil comes and destroys you. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man, it's not just something for young people. It's something for all of us. We never grow out of it. So I want to encourage you, younger people, go ahead and get the victory over the fear of man while you're young. Because I'm fixing to turn 40 if I live to December 12th this year, Lord willing, and I still face the fear of man myself. So go ahead and don't think, well, I'm just going to get a few years older and grow out of it. It don't happen that way. Choices you make right now is going to determine how ensnared you are to the fear of man in the future. So go ahead. But the fear of man is very real. And it's something we all can relate to. The fear of man causes us to do things that we really don't want to do or we ordinarily wouldn't do. The fear of man will cause you to smoke a cigarette because your buddies want you to, when down deep you really don't want to. The fear of man will cause you to drink alcohol and become drunk when really you know better and you really don't want to, and if it wasn't for your buddies, you wouldn't. But the fear of man will cause you to give in.
Yes, it will.
The fear of man will cause a preacher to change his message according to which crowd he's preaching to. The fear of man will cause you not to speak up to your customers in your business when they're using foul language. And that's something that I've failed and struggled in there, and I want to get Brother Ben to make me a sign there to hang up, that the folk would help keep this a good, clean environment by refraining from using foul language. Because sometimes in the heat of the moment, maybe you might give in to this fear of man, but the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man will cause us to laugh at a shady, dirty joke when we wouldn't really want to. But the fear of man, because everybody else is laughing, and we might be looked at as a weirdo if we don't laugh. We don't want to be different. So the fear of man brings a snare. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. When Brother Diane preached a wonderful message last night on the soul. I don't believe you could have went anywhere in the country and heard any clearer, better preaching than what we heard last night. And he preached on the value of the soul and what would you give in exchange for your soul. And this goes right along with it. Don't fear men. What's the worst case scenario that a man could do? What's the worst they could do? I mean, they could torture you, then they could take your life. That's it. That's all they could do. They could come up here and take my life and cause my heart to quit beating, cause my lungs to quit breathing, kill my body. But they can't touch my soul. They can't touch it. But God can touch my soul. And at the judgment, my soul's either going to heaven or to hell, as Brother Diane preached last night. So what are you going to do if we're saved and we're ready to go and somebody takes our life? Well, then we just go to heaven a little sooner than we planned on. That's the worst somebody can do to us. So we shouldn't fear Him. I know we do, and I'm not casting stones because I wrestle with this thing myself. So I'm with you. And Lord, help us all to not fear man. That's the worst they can do. And though sometimes just being different, you think, well, I could stand up if they'd cut my head off or just kill me, but I just can't stand being different. The fear of man will cause you to wear clothes that you really know you shouldn't wear because your buddies might look at you funny or may make a funny remark at you. The fear of man brings a snare. It brings a snare. So don't fear if your buddies laugh at you. Deal with that. Yes, it hurts. It's not fun. But as the world waxes worse and worse, and as the morals of society get worse and worse and further away from God, we're going to have, if we're going to be faithful to God, we're going to have to get used to being different. Because even if we stay where we're at, the world keeps getting worse and worse and worse, we're going to be looked at more and more as different. Out of touch. And that's exactly what God wants us to be. Out of touch. And not fear man. Be okay with being different for the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Let's just get down to the bottom line here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And people, you wonder what the will of God is for your life. Maybe some of them, what's the will of God for your life? Well, it's right here. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty. And if you're looking at that as a drudgery and things, you're listening to the wrong spirit. Because God's commandments are not grievous. They're for our good. They're for our good. And God loves us. Just like you as the parents who give commandments to your children. It's not because you're trying to keep them from having fun. It's because you're trying to spare them from hurt and harm. And so what a joyous, fulfilled life to fear God and keep His commandments. Because when He comes back, He's going to bring His rewards there, and He's going to reward you for that. For doing what you ought to be doing anyway, He's going to reward you for it. So what about that? He rewards us in this life spiritually, and He's going to reward us in the next life. If we're not fear man and get into that snare of the fear of man. And people, if you want to be faithful and have an ongoing church here, as I believe we all have a desire, a blessed hope to have an ongoing church for generations to the glory of God, you'll have to overcome the fear of man, because some other churches are going to apostatize. They're going to compromise, just like the denomination I grew up in compromised and apostatized. Even churches in our circles that at one time were faithful are not faithful now. There's the fear of man, I believe, was part of that. They no longer could bear the reproach of being different and serving God. So the fear of man brings a snare. And I just want to expose that for what it is. It's a snare of the devil. Another snare, and most of all these verses, if you want to follow this there. That first snare was Proverbs 29:25. If you happen to want to jot these down and look at them later for yourself, most all these verses are going to have the word snare in it, except one, I believe. So the first snare, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Then the next one here that I have is evil friends bring a snare. That's in Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Well, he gives the reason here. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. That's why, young people, if your parents are particular in who you run with, and if they're godly parents, they will be, is because they don't want you to learn evil friends' ways and get a snare to your soul. And see, you say, well, this don't, I mean, not even with an angry man, somebody that's known as being angry, not to make a friendship with them. Not that we're not friendly, we're to be friendly to everybody, but who we're, and we're going to have acquaintances in their business and things, not about who you make your friends with, who you want to be around in your free time. Make no, and see, you would think this man here's not even a drug dealer. He's not a blasphemous man. He's not an immoral man. It just says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways. We are easily influenced.
Right.
And we're deceiving ourselves if we don't think we are. I admit I'm very easily influenced. And so that's why I have to be very careful in who I run with. Because, and that even helped me through my teenage years, was not running with a wrong crowd. Because if I had to run with them, I wouldn't have been strong enough to withstood it. So my best game plan there was to not run with them to start with. So make no friendship, even as an adult. My dad was a faithful man, so had sung and played music in a gospel family group. I've heard recordings there. Well, because he died when I was just a wee little fella there, but he, like I say, sang in this group there and everything. And but you know what? And him grown. What I'm getting at? He was grown. I was already born there, and he got a job being a police officer. And he started running around with some of the partying police officers. And he lost his life at a drunken police party. Before that, he had left my mother and me as a baby and moved in with a wicked woman. And then it wasn't too much longer after that there that he had lost his life. And a lot of it there, yes, sure there was other things involved. But if he had never went around with those evil friends, he'd probably still be here today. So evil friends bring a snare. Be careful. Even as a church, be careful who our church friends are. You know, as far as other churches, just friends at all levels, business levels, church levels, individual levels, family levels. Evil friends bring a snare. Another snare of the devil here is evil speech brings a snare. Proverbs 12:13, the wicked is snared. What's that word there? Snared by the transgression of his lips. But the just shall come out of trouble. What was the wicked snared by? The transgression of his lips. Our speech is a salvation issue. It's not a small matter in the eyes of God. Our speech. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. What was the snare of his soul? His lips. That's why parents don't want you to use certain words or talk in a certain tone or things that's for your good.
That's right.
Because if you just let your fleshly instincts dictate what comes out of your mouth, it will be a snare. And it's best to go ahead and get that under control while we're young. Because the older we get, the harder these bad snares and habits are to get out of. Right. So learn it while we're young. The lips can be a snare of your soul. Another there verse there, and James there, I just thought of it on the way here and asked the wife to find it there and look it up and read it to me there. I didn't have it in my notes there, but if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain.
Right.
If we don't bridle our tongue, it don't matter how many times we come to church or tent meetings. It don't matter how plain we dress. And I believe in plain dress.
Yeah.
And I believe in going to tent meetings and church meetings. But if we don't bridle our tongue, the Bible says our religion is vain.
Right.
Our tongue is a serious thing. Evil speech brings a snare. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." How much communication does it say that can proceed out of our mouth? It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed." A zero tolerance is what we shoot for, is our goal, what we pray for. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But, not that we just claim our mouth, well, I just can't say anything no more. I'm afraid it's going to be bad. That's not the answer either. It says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, does it build others up? Does it help them? That's what I want to do tonight. I want good speech to come out here. To the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I want to minister grace here with the speech tonight. Another verse there, Titus chapter 2, verse 6 through 8 says, Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So what is that in the list of things? Was sound speech that cannot be condemned. If our speech is not sound, it can be condemned. And it gives those that are a contrary part something evil to say of you. And people pay close attention to us. They really do. I've heard it in the shop there. Just people that's been around some type of different plain people. And I tell you, if your speech, words come out that shouldn't, or if you do things you shouldn't, I mean, it really stands out because they expect better of us. And they should. And so we need to be careful. I even know some of my Washington County brethren over there in Manchester was appalled at some speech they've heard come out of plain people at an auction somewhere. There, foul language. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of her mouth.
Amen.
Another snare of the devil is the love and accumulation, the love and accumulation of riches being a snare. And Brother Dian touched on this a little bit last night in the message the Lord had given him. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 10 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world." Got some young babies here. We were all a young baby at one time, of course. And I wonder if would Philip have the youngest baby here tonight, maybe? Or is it who had one after? Anyhow, Philip, anyhow, if you're not the youngest, did your baby have anything when it come into the world?
Lots of prize.
As far as material possessions, nothing. Nothing. It didn't bring any money. It didn't even bring clothes on its back. It says, we brought nothing into this world. That's true. Nobody's ever been born that's brought anything material into the world. And so the Bible says, it is certain we can carry nothing out. nothing. When we lay in that casket, we're not taking her. We're not taking her digging for my keys by. We're not taking her automobiles with us. We're not taking her tractors with us, her bank account, her homes with us. It says it's certain we'll take nothing with us. The only thing we'll meet there is the treasures that we've laid up in heaven. It's certain we can take nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now, I know we may not be rich by modern American standards when we compare the ultra wealthy, but I know we've all got food and clothing and shelter. And we've got a lot more stuff too. I do too. So are we content? The Bible says, just having those two things, food and raiment, let us be there more content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. A snare. What did we say a snare was? Something that's going to hold you until the devil comes and destroys you. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith. They were once in the faith, but they erred from it. They erred from the faith. And what did it bring them? If Brother Nine was preaching it tonight, he'd say a bad deal. A bad deal that pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Not just one or two sorrows, many sorrows. Pierced. Pierced themselves through. Pierced themselves. Their own selves. Nobody else pierced them. They pierced themselves. It said, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, I grew up an only child, as many of you know. And my stepfather worked for the railroad, and my mother worked too. I had plenty good food growing up. I had good clothes growing up. And a lot of toys growing up. Video games. Stuff that I wouldn't, not going to give to my own children. Those games and things that are useless. They need to be learning skills that they can use once they're adults. And all of a sudden, this hours I spent playing Nintendo and stuff growing up is useless now. Vanity. What I'm getting at there is I didn't want for anything growing up. So do I look back on my childhood and am I just so thankful I had all those games and all that food and all those clothes and things? And no. My fondest childhood memories was times that Grandpa spent and Grandma spent out taking me out fishing or taking me out, you know, on hikes or things, or just spending time with me, or Grandpa showing me how to do something, or just showing me that he loved me. And that didn't cost a whole lot to do those things. And so I'm just telling you, a lot of times we pursue riches and use our families as an excuse. Well, I got to provide for my family. And like a lot of excuses, there's just a little bit of element of truth in those. You know, yeah, we need to provide for our family's food and raiment. But I'm telling you, if you're chasing riches and working all these long hours, extra long hours, and neglecting your wife and children, and when you come in exhausted, the Lord and your family get your wore out leftovers. Something needs to change. Now, and we're going to have to get over the fear of man to fix this problem right here. Because if we're not working as many hours as their brethren has, or neighbors do, we're going to feel some adult peer pressure to work more hours and things to, you know, just keep up with, you know, like everybody does. You know, I mean, I know. I wrestle with that my own self about trying to, you know, cut back a little bit so I have more fresh, not the wore out leftovers, but fresh time to spend with the Lord and my family. And I can feel the pressure from my extended family, even though they've not said nothing. I can be afraid to cut back my hours because, well, that just seems illogical. You know, you're married now and you got a child on the way and it's not time to cut back your hours. The world and most of the professing Christians, so you need to work more hours because it's going to take more money than you've ever had before. And maybe that's right. But what's it going to matter if the Lord lets me live till I'm an old gray-headed man? Am I going to wish that I'd have had more money to pamper him and make him more of a spoiled brat? Or am I going to wish that I had spent more time with him and had a relationship with him? That's what they want. They don't need another $50, $100 bill. They need your time and not your wore-out leftover time. That's what the Lord needs, too, our times. And we're going to have to get over this, trying to keep up with the pressures of the Anabaptists, others around us and things, to get out of this snare of pursuing riches. And maybe we're not going to have everything that we're used to having or things. But if your children are happy and your wife's happy, then what more could you ask for? I remember as a young boy, they're having those video games and having those nice clothes and having the food and having a nice house, having a nice bed, and still feeling empty. Still feeling alone. And I remember as a young boy saying, I had all this stuff, but I knew my home was a wreck. All the fighting and things going on in the home and everything. And I knew I didn't have a home like the Lord wanted me to have. And I remember as a young man, and that's one of the things that initially helped attract me to the Anabaptist people. Not that I've seen perfect homes, but I've seen people that was willingly, purposely putting forth the effort to try to structure their homes according to the Scripture. And it attracted a boy that grew up in a messed up home. And I remember as a young boy saying, if I could only have a godly home, I will have had everything in this life that I could have ever wanted. Because I'd already had everything else, but I didn't have a godly home. And so when I seen homes that were putting forth effort, it attracted me. And I'm telling you, the world's not going to be near as attracted to your fancy farms or fancy businesses or things. But a hurting world with such messed up home life, they're going to be attracted to our families. If our families have relationships with God and with each other like we have to be, that's going to be one of our best drawing tools to the world and to the mainstream Christians, because the mainstream denominations is having just as much home trouble and divorcing and things as the world.
That's right.
So that's going to be attractive. Because see, I was raised in church. I was a church member, and it was still attractive to me because I knew that the home was going to be where revival started. We had revival meetings and things and have evangelists stand and pray for revivals and stuff where I grew up in. But the Lord dealt with me and told me we can have all the meetings we want, have all the prayer meetings we want, have all the evangelists we want. But God wasn't going to give revival until we dealt with our homes and fixed our homes first. Because if my home's a wreck and your home's a wreck and your home's a wreck and your home's a wreck and we come together and have church, the church is going to be a wreck. So if you want a good church, it starts with a good home. And I'm saying that we need to provide food and raiment. And yeah, if we don't do that, we're denying the faith. And yes, that's sin to not provide food and raiment. It is. But I'm saying, if we're erring on the other extreme.
Right.
And I'm just saying that's going to be a snare. I'm warning you of snares. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. So be willing to be, you need to be willing to maybe look down on for not having the best. Get over the fear of man. Another snare of the devil is just plain old sin. Maybe I haven't hit your sin tonight. But I got another verse here in Proverbs 5:22. It says, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Now that word don't have snares in it, but I looked up the word cords in the Strong's, and it was number 2256. And you know what one of the words for cords was? Snare. So he shall be holding, shall be held with the cords or snares of his sin. Sin is a snare. Any sin is a snare. No, what used to be the symbol for Pure Life Ministries in Dry Ridge, Kentucky. Well, they just changed their ministry symbol lately, and I don't like the new symbol near as well, but they didn't ask me. But I'll tell you what it used to be. It used to be on all the head at the top of the letters they send with their symbol in it. It showed two hands and cords wrapped around those hands, and those hands was pulling apart, and you could see those ropes were breaking. And that's what that ministry was trying to do, was taking professing Christian men that found themselves in the snare of sexual perversions, pornography, and more, and trying to help them get set free. And I like that symbol of breaking free from those cords. Those snares around. And that's what sin does. It snares. And so that's why we find ourselves in sin. We need to be aware that it is a sin. But the devil is smarter than that. He doesn't present it as a snare, because we'd see it. He sugarcoats it and offers you, as Brother Ian said there, tries to make a bad deal with you. But sin, sometimes we think... Let me tell you another thing there. Sometimes we think we're the exception.
No.
We think we can handle it.
Never.
You know, we can pick it up. You know, somebody else may handle this sin and they get hooked on it, but I can handle it. You know, I can pick it up and handle it, and then when I'm done with it, I can lay it back down. That is a lie.
That's right.
I believe that too. I believe that lie. And so the devil might be telling you that lie too. You know, I can sneak around and look at this stuff, and you know, I can lay it down, or I can sneak around and do this kind of stuff, and I can lay it down. But let me tell you, the Lord showed me when I thought I was about to die, and I couldn't lay it down. Then I knew I was snared. Because if you know in your mind, even if it's didn't really going to happen, but if you are sure in your mind you're going to die and you don't lay it down, you're snared.
That's right.
So cords of sin. So if we're a cord have any sin here, if there's sin in your life, it's a snare. It's a snare. Just be aware of that. And if the devil tempts you, if you're not in sin, when the devil does tempt you, and he will tempt you.
That's right.
He may leave for a season, but he'll come back and bring more temptations. You know, if he didn't get you for one thing, he'll wait a little bit and try something else, see if he can get you. Just remember, when sin presents itself, that it's not what he's really presenting. It's not that good. It's a snare. And just think about it. A lot of times that's what's kept me from going back into sin at times. Was realizing, seeing it for what it really was. The devil tried to present it very alluring. And I feel my flesh being attracted to that allurement. And then I realized, the wages of sin is death. I realize that the cords of sin will bind me again if I go back. And the price that it will cost me is not worth it. It's a bad deal. And stay away. So see it for what it is. When the flesh is pulling, wanting you to give in to sin, see it for what it is, a snare. Another thing that brings a snare is copying the heathen world brings a snare. That's in Psalm 106, 34 through 36. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Now, first of all, they disobeyed the Lord by not annihilating the people as God commanded them. But then they went further into sin. And sin, all undealt sin, always takes you further and further. They didn't destroy the nations. Then they mingled among the heathen. They learned the heathen's works. They served the heathen's idols. And they became ensnared. Now, I'm probably getting closer here on this one right here. Maybe the riches might be in, but right here is another thing that probably for our circles is probably one of the biggest snares that we can be vulnerable to. Because maybe we was in environments, maybe your environment was probably, most of you is different than mine. Maybe you grew up in a real religious, conservative setting that had maybe hypocrisy or different things in it, and they leave that. And so if you leave something, then you got to go to something else. Well, then what are you going to go to? And so many times people have jumped, they say they're out of the kettle and into the fire, out of the skillet. You know, you tried to get out of one thing and jumped into something even worse. And so mingling among the heathen. We're living in the world. We're going to be around people in our businesses and our neighbors and things. And we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I don't believe in isolation, but the Bible does teach separation. And to mingle among the heathen and learn their works. And you mingle among the heathen, it's a given you'll learn their works. It happens. And then serve their idols. And we see that happen sometimes, mingling among the heathen. That's why sometimes people that leave conservative settings and they wind up serving the world's idols, whether it's fashion or different things, they fall into that snare and serve their idols and become ensnared by those things. And so beware of those things. Don't throw it all out. Maybe whether if you just had a seen some hypocrisy. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Be separate. And to be separate, we're going to have to get over that fear of man.
That's right.
Because we're going to look odd. We're going to be different. Not just in our looks, but in our actions, our values. Everything's going to be different. But isn't that exactly what children of God are? Is different?
Yes.
Thank God we've been made different. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
So if the world says we're different, well then, yeah, you're right. God made me different. I'm glad He did.
Amen.
And touch not the unclean thing, because it's a snare. The unclean thing is a snare.
Right.
So how do we get out of these snares? We find ourselves in them. There is a way out. Start here in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, and says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will, that they may recover themselves out of the snare. We can be recovered out of the snare. For in it there is hope. Do you want to be recovered out of the snare? Amen. If I'm in any snare, I want to be recovered out of the snare. They may recover themselves. That's the problem sometimes. We don't want to. It's going to take a little effort here. It's going to take something on our part. It says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Well, first thing there is repentance and to acknowledging of the truth. That's a great step, is just acknowledging the truth. Brother Diane told a story there last night of a young man somewhere that was just flat out lying where he was at, lying to the brethren that would approach him, and even in front of the whole church was lying about his condition and things he was involved. He wouldn't acknowledge the truth. And it was a snare. And it cost him his life and probably his soul. So repentance, and Brother Nine explained what that was. Yes, it's acknowledging the truth and turning in the other direction. So that's, if you're in any of these snares, that's two real good first steps. Is one, acknowledging the truth, acknowledging that you're in a snare. And you might have to deal with that fear of man to be able to acknowledge it, but that's good. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge it to God. Because God already knows about it anyway, and we know that. So God, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees everything. So repentance and acknowledging the truth. And he that, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I have to confess that you're in a snare, and then you're going to have to forsake it. Some folk just want to keep confessing and don't want to forsake it. And then some folk want to forsake it, but they're too prideful to confess it. They want to try to forsake it on their own, like I tried for many years to forsake it. And finally, the Lord wasn't going to let me get free any other way. I had to go to two brethren and just lay it out. It's ugly, but this is where I'm at. I'm in a snare to my lust. And I need help, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever you say, I'm going to submit to your guidance. And it worked.
Praise the Lord.
Another thing, how to get out of the snare besides acknowledging the truth and repenting, confessing and forsaking, is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. You're afraid to die like you are. That's how I was. I was afraid to die like I was. The fear of the Lord. And even if you're not feeling like you're going to die right then, just the fear of the Lord can keep you, can help you get out of sin, because you don't want to die in sin. And the fear of the Lord can keep you from going in the snare to start with. The fear of the Lord. I'm going to close the last verse there. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I believe Brother Leonard's going to close out here. Just be honest. And if there's nothing in your life, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But the devil will come knocking on your door shortly, like he does all of us. Just beware of the snares.
Amen.
And if maybe you're heading towards the snare, maybe you're not quite to the snare yet, but maybe you're a young man there and you're a young family and you're being drawn to those riches and things, or you're not bridling your tongue and things, or just different things. There's a way out of those snares, and if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. God bless you.
Amen.